Pad came and got me and said, "You want a tater? You go preachy. You want to eat? You work." And I said, "Okay, I'll get right on it then." All right, so 2 Timothy chapter 2. Most of you, and I always the old way, which has changed. And you'd say, if you'll turn in your Bibles, but now it's turn in your tablets, and whatever else you may have, and it's all changed so much. And most people just carry their little, look it up online or whatever, then carry a Bible with them. But whatever you have, I'm using the New Living Translation. Just works better for this passage, and we'll read this passage and we'll take it verse by verse and dissect it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 19. The Lord's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription. Tried to do this last week and couldn't even get started on it, so here we go again. And so you haven't missed anything, we're going to do it again. The Lord knows those who are His. You make note of that, don't forget it. He knows those that belong to Him, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. And in a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you'll be ready for the Master to use you for any and every good work. Run from anything, and we're going to get to this too. This is the tough one. We're going to dig into this in a little bit. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace, and enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Now, I don't want to be redundant, but for those of you who weren't here last week, and we just didn't get very far for whatever reason, but don't walk out of here today feeling like that you have been abandoned, or that God doesn't know what's going on with you, or that God's not aware of whatever's happened to you, and He's also aware of what's going to happen to you, and what you're going to be involved in, and who you're going to meet. He knows who you're going to meet and talk to this afternoon that you might not even have a bit of awareness of. God knows. He knows it all. He knows you. So don't ever let in your mind, your own mind or the devil, ever convince you that you've been abandoned, or that God doesn't care, or that God's not watching. And I want to tell you something, and this is me and my personal struggle. I've had a struggle over these many last months, and I just feel like, God, have you abandoned our nation? Have you left us? Do you hear your people? Are your people crying out to you? I think of these things, and I talked to him about it, and that's when I shared with you, I think last week or week before, that God led me, and I mean, just put in my mind, because I haven't gone there, and I usually am not reading around in this particular area of the Psalms, but that's when He gave me Psalm 63, and it was like, you read this every day as a prayer, and you read this and pray this as a prayer, read Psalm 63, not 63, but 83. I'm messing up on that. It was Psalms 83. And read it as a prayer. And it says, God, there was a prayer there, and it said, God, do to your enemies, the enemies of your people, as you did to Oreb and Zeb, he gets down there and names all these people, Syrian, and all the ites are in there. And he talks, and the prayer was, God, strike them and scatter them like a whirlwind. As a fire burns them out, and then he talks about all these things. So take them out. Take out these evil people. Well, people say, yeah, but that was Old Testament. He's still God. And he says, I don't want you taking vengeance. Let me do it. Vengeance is mine. Thus saith the Lord, I will repay. So pray that. Pray the 83rd Psalm. That's what He gave me, and pray it. And then, of course, Psalms 91, follow it up with that. I pray that too. He's your armor and protection. It says, though a thousand fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. You need to read that. All of that. And so you say, well, why are you drifting into the Psalms when you just read in 2 Timothy? Because that's to encourage us that God says, I know who you are, and if I promise I'll protect you, then I'm going to protect you. No matter what it seems like, and no matter what you turn on, and whatever CNN or whoever else, you know, all these news stations have, I just picked them out, but whoever it is, Newsweek, doesn't make a difference. Whatever they're saying, just remember one thing. Only God determines the outcome. God's in charge of this thing. They're not. There's a whole lot of different groups and entities trying to play God everywhere. There's even some pastors trying to play God. Really are. You've seen it all through your life. All my life I've seen some pastors trying to play God. They end up learning who's God and who's not. And everybody else that wants to play God will learn the same thing. Just know that God knows you intimately. He knows right now, right this minute, God knows you. And he knows where you are with him spiritually, emotionally. He knows where you're doubting. He knows when we're trying to fool people. You know how it is. We come into church and everybody says, how you doing? Fine. You had a good week? Oh, yeah. God bless you, sister. God bless you, brother. And they walk off and you're muttering under your breath, I can't stand that person. And we know we do it. God knows that. He knows that. And so, you know, so you say, what am I supposed to do? Tell them to their face I can't stand them? No, just get over that whole thing in the first place. You know, get it out of your heart before you get in there so that at least you can stand them. And why are you lying to people? Let me tell you, I can't tell all the details because God wants certain things, but it was no one here, but I went into a town and I just was hungry, and I went in this little restaurant and I said, man, could you fix me some tacos? I said, yeah, we can fix you some tacos. And I sit down I wanted to carry them home. I don't like it. Sometimes I just don't like sitting there. If it's real crowded in a restaurant, I just don't understand. Any of you like that? I just want to get it and take it home. You like crowded? You don't like, you're like, yeah, okay. Take it home. Yeah, I don't want to eat in there. You know, but anyway, I realized the Lord had set me up because I sit down and I'm sitting there waiting on my little tacos, homemade. They're homemade, by the way. They're not those commercial things. They make them all, everything there, and they're good. So anyway, and something just draws me to turn around in the chair, and there's a lady sitting there, and I could just tell. I thought, oh my gosh, something bad's happened in her life. And so, you know, being who I am, I said, hey. And she looked up. She was just staring down. And she looked up and she said, hi. And when anybody does something like that, well, hi, you know, I said, it's not so good, is it? She said, you have no idea. And I said, that bad? Your life's not so good? And boy, she just blew up. And she didn't jump on me. She poured out her troubles, and they were troubles. Really rough. And, you know, and then you know, I sat there, and my tacos came, and who cared, right? I just let them get cold. And the point being, friends, that's what we're here to do. Now, you may not can fix the person's problem, but you can sure let them tell you about it. And you can sure pray with them. And if you got the means, help them. And if you know, do what God prompts you. But at least, listen, every one of us needs to pray. God knows where we are. He knows where other people are. He'll put you in places where, just listen. Just let them get it out. She apparently had nobody to talk to. And she was just telling me, you know. I just sat there and I thought, Tony, if you think anything in your life right now might be difficult, listen to this, you know, and it was just not good. And financially not good, emotionally not good, and it was like, you know, this lady is just barely getting by. Her husband had died. She's living on nothing. And it's like, oh man, you know, she just didn't have anything. And she just felt like, I'm alone. And, you know, that's what we're here to do. God, to remind people, God knows where you are. He knew she was in that restaurant, and he knew Tony needed to go in that restaurant. What did he do? I'm serious. I don't usually go around craving tacos. I just don't. I was not raised on tacos like a lot of you were. I was raised on meat and taters with white cream gravy. Okay, oh, that hits a note. Yeah, see, that's what I was raised on. And the meat might be, it might be deer meat, or it might be whatever, but it was meat and taters and gravy, and plenty of gravy. That, you know, serve the kids lots of gravy. If you don't have a lot of the other, give them a lot of gravy. That'll fill them up. And you had biscuits to dip in there, or even just bread. Who cares? Just so it's made out of flour, so you can dip it in gravy, right? That's what we had. So I don't normally have this crave for a taco. Why did that? God gave me that craving to go in this particular place. It wasn't about the tacos. It was about another human being who needed one of God's people to listen to him. Now, that's no commendation to me. I'm simply telling you, that's God knows. And when you have that prompting, just do it. You may be, next week, God forbid, I hope not, but you could be the one sitting there, and you need one of God's people to turn around in their chair and say something to you and let you talk. God knows. He puts us in positions. That's why he lets you go through stuff. That's why you go through things that disappoint you and make you struggle, and you're thinking, man, this is a sorry life. I thought God treated people better than this. He's saying, I have someone at the taco place, and I need you to go through these experiences so when they start talking and you're going to meet them in a month or two or a week, whatever it is, you will understand and have empathy with them because you've been there, done that. That's why it all happens. Now, God really knows. He knows your every feeling, desire, thought, and your hurts, and your pains, and your disappointments, and he knows our sins. I was asking him last night, how do you tolerate us? And I asked him, how do you tolerate me? I get mad at people on the highway. It's one of my big struggles. It is. I drive about 90 miles to get here, and I get mad at people on the interstate. Why don't people drive like I want them to? Tell them. You know, Tony's rules of order for the highway. And one of those is when you pass me on I-10, do not immediately cut in front of my front bumper. That just, something happens, and I'm not thinking very Christian at the moment. So, does God know that? Yes. And I was just praying, I was thinking about this message, thinking, I have to preach this, I got to bring this message, and I can't even do it all myself. Do you ever feel like that? Did God ask you to speak something, do something, help somebody else, and you can't even do it yourself? Well, let me tell you something. There's not a pastor made that can live up to this word completely. They want you to think they can, but the truth is we're all human. I'm just a man called to do a godly job, and I guarantee you I'm fallible. God isn't, but I am. Isn't it amazing that he uses somebody like me to bring this message? But he does, and he has for all these years, and he'll use somebody like you to help somebody else. We don't have to be perfect, just consistent. Consistent in praying, consistent in confession, consistent in keeping it clean before God. Well, let's move on. Yeah, you know, just be consistent in relationship. God knows where you are, and he knows where other people are. We're here to sit down and talk to people. We're to speak to them, give them a smile, help them to have a little bit better day than they came in with. I walked out of that restaurant. Of course, I was thinking, first of all, God help me if I start complaining to you right now, and then, you know, anytime soon, remind me of what I just heard in there. But then it hit me, was this about tacos, Tony, or is this about you doing things, you know, that outside that Sunday morning? You're preaching every day, son. You're preaching with your lifestyle. So are we all. And it's about me putting in your heart, you know, to go somewhere or do something. You ever had this happen? You get a little craving for something, you go do it, and you get in this conversation. If you have it, just ask God to open your heart, and He'll do it for you. And He'll put you in these places. Listen, God wants you to know Him. He knows where you are, and He wants you to know Him intimately. And I didn't get to this. I want to hit this real quick before we move on. God wants an intimate one, and it says know in the Greek here, you know, that God knows. It doesn't mean God is aware. In the Greek, when it uses that word, it means He intimately knows you. He knows you intimately. Every bit of you. Just like we're supposed to know the people we're married to. He knows you. And He wants you to open your heart to know Him in that same way. Where I know His prompting, where I know the... Listen. No, He wants me to know Him well enough to where I know His voice speaking to me versus a lying devil who tries to imitate Him. Any of you ever been misled by that? You thought it was the Lord and then you find out? And He wants us to, and me too, and He wants us to know Him so closely that we can discern the difference, and you can know God that well. That's what knowing God is about. I've seen books. There's a guy, Blackburn, that wrote a book, you know, Knowing God. But listen, when it boils down to it, it means that I open my heart in prayer, open my heart in confession. I open my heart in saying, I don't really know as much as I think I do. I don't understand all this. Help me, God. Help me. Reveal to me the truth of Your word, the truth of Your character. First thing He's going to do is put in your heart to say, look at Jesus. Look at what my son did, how he lived, how he prayed on this earth. Well, let's move on. God wants us honorable. This one is, I've always kind of not, well, you know, how do you honestly say? I'm not really cared for this passage this much, but it's just because in a wealthy house, if you read it in another translation, even more confusing, there's vessel utensils made of gold and silver and some of wood and clay. And expensive ones are used, you know, for everyday use, for just special occasion, cheap ones for everyday use. He said, if you keep yourself pure, you'll be a special instrument. Let me ask you something. He's talking about items that are brought out for special guests. And he said, and he's talking about in my house. And I hit on this just a little bit, and it's bothered me, it's the no end, but it's the truth. And what is one of the things that relating to this when you research all this is God's saying, you see, He said in the house, there's objects of gold and silver. There's very special clean objects, and then there's not so clean objects. And when you look at a practical matter in reality, God's church is made up of Christian people, right? I mean, that's what the church is. But don't ever forget that the devil puts his imitators in the church. The wheat and the chaff, remember? The wheat and the tares, the chaff. You can't tell the difference till harvest time. Because some people listen, there are really, truly spirit-saved people who recognize they're sinners, they repent of their sins, they confess them, they ask Jesus in their heart. But then they're the pew babies. If you're familiar with pew babies, in the churches I used to pastor, another denomination, we had pew babies. They're the people that were born and raised in the pew. You know, it's chairs here, but remember the old wooden pews? They're people who were just raised in the church, and they never saw the need to really repent of their sins and ask Jesus in their heart. They have so imitated Christ, they've so imitated Christianity that they fool people, including themselves, all their lives. This is why when you ever get confused when you read over there and you say, in that day, the day of judgment, Jesus is going to say, people are going to come before me, and you're going to say, I cast out demons in Your name, and in Your name I did this, and in Your name I did that, and He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Those are the pew babies. Because there's power in the name of Jesus, whether you know Him or not, there's still power in that name, and miracles happen. But friends, listen. There are people in every church who have been in church so long in their lives, they think that they are truly Christians. There are pew babies. That's my term. You can call them whatever you want. There has to come a place to where I realize that I can be born in the chair right there in this church today, grow up in this place, spend my life in it, and go straight to hell because I never made the distinction between being born in church and born again. You've got to be born again. And recognize, I don't care what my church affiliation, denomination, or what they say, there comes a place I have to say, God, I'm a sinner, and I repent of that, and I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart and save me, and he will. So he's talking about there in the Father's house, you know, not there, but here in the church, there are utensils that are precious. And there are those for everyday use. Now here's the good news. If you came in here as just an everyday vessel and you didn't get it, well, you've heard it now, so get it. Bow your head and say, Jesus, I get it. I believe you're the Son of God. God raised you from the dead. I know I'm a sinner. And just pray that prayer. That Jesus, I repent, forgive me, come into my heart, save me right now, cleanse me with the blood of Jesus, and boom, he'll do it this moment. And you become one of those precious, beautiful silver and gold instruments in God's house. He says, if you keep yourself pure, you'll be a special utensil for honorable use. So God wants you honorable. He wants you to choose to walk from being a dirty, everyday, hit it in the wrong direction thing to be a vessel of gold, silver and gold. Let me ask you something because it concerns me a lot. Why do people choose to be ordinary vessels? Why don't you want to be special? Why in the world settle to just be... I have people and they say, well, but this is the style. This is the norm. My Christianity is more open, and it's blah blah blah. You know, garbage, garbage, garbage. Why don't you choose to shine like gold and be bright like silver? It's all a choice. You know why people don't want to be like gold and silver? Too many people notice them and they want to get away with being grungy. If you're really honest in here, has there been times in your lives when you just like being a little grungy? You just kind of want to do something dirty under the table, you know? I think I'll just go sin today because it feels good. Really. And we act that way. And then you get so caught up in it and you just attract. Listen to this. Grunge attacks grunge. Dirt attracts dirt. Does it not? So the more garbage in your life, the more garbage you're going to get. So it just finally comes to place. Say, you know what? I want to shine. I know I want to be silver and gold in your house, Lord. And I want to attract that in my life. Okay, I'm meddling. You ever wonder why such yucky people come in your life? Quit being yucky. Seriously, be good, be godly. There's something here that everybody needs to think about, and you can tell this to your friends who just kind of want to be dirty utensils. Is it worth the risk you're running? What if? I know, I got a call from the daughter there a few days ago, and you know, and she was telling me these young people right out there between Comfort and Fredericksburg. What, four in one vehicle and one in another. And they decided to pass in a no passing zone. They went around, had a head on collision, killed all of them. They're all young. What, most of them in their 20s? So, well, see, and that's what I say, it can happen, boom. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. It's like, why run the risk? Why mess around? Get it straight. There's no chance after that. Just so you can just be one of the... Why do you want to be one of the crowd? Any of you ever fall into that anywhere in your life? Yeah, you just went along, compromise, knowing in your heart this is not where God wants me. Sure, thank you for saying. Anybody else? Yeah, okay. Anybody else? Okay. And did it get you anywhere? No. Just deeper in the hole. Who was that used to sing? You know, I can't remember his name now anyway. Another day older and a deeper in debt. I mean, who was that? Tennessee Ernie Ford? So that's what you do, you know? That's about where it leads you. You just get deeper and deeper. Come on. Let Jesus cleanse your heart. I got to move on. We got to finish this life. Anyway, let me hit this third thing here. You ready? Everybody ready? Say you're ready. Okay, you're ready. Yeah, because taters are waiting. Okay. He says, run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. You say, okay, here we go. Now you're going to really meddle. Here's what he's saying. Yeah, and you say, yeah, we heard it. You know, run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Let me hit you something. When we say that, we immediately think about one thing. And you say youthful lust, and that's like, oh, sexual things. Yeah, we know what you mean. Why don't we admit as adults that a lot of us are still stuck in our youth? Why? What happened to you that caused you to be stuck somewhere and you can't get off of that? He says, flee these youthful lusts. He's, you know, let me share this with you. I was an infantryman. I was infantry, airborne infantry. You know, everybody thinks that's glamorous. You drop in by parachute. Oh, that's great. That's cool. Then you're walking. And what, you know, people, we don't talk about this, but do you know there is a time, that's why an infantryman and especially airborne dropping in the dangerous places, you're mixed in and you're right, that you drop in and they're all around you. So you've got to be able to know when to fight or when to run. You go into a place and it's like, there's 20 bad guys to every one of ours. Let's regroup. Have a little organized withdrawal. Every infantryman knows there's a time to get out of Dodge. That's what we used to call it. And get back and move out of this. And we got to figure something out here because this ain't going to work. Especially when you get out there and you realize there's these big clanky things with treads on them and gun tubes. And you're just, you know, these little things do not repel tank rounds. Okay, so you move out and you figure something out. Here's what, for you and me. Friends, there's times to realize if I don't get out of this situation, if I walk in that bar, if I turn on that show, if I go to that particular channel where all that stuff is, it's going to get me. There's a time to flee youthful lust, and there's a time to look in your life and say, where am I stuck? Why are my emotions so fragile? Why do I still just blow up like I did when I was a kid? That means you're stuck. What happened to you? What nightmare thing happened to you? What missed in your life? It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's something to reckon with and bring it to God. Junk happens to people. It happens to everybody. I've had it. You've had it. Are there things in my life that I had to wrestle with so I wouldn't be stuck? Yes. What about you? Quit going there. Quit reliving it. You say, I can't. You can. Not on your own, but you can give it to God and say, this wasn't fair. I hate it happened. I don't know why it happened. I even get upset with you, God, about it happening. But I'm bringing it to you. I'm confessing it. And I'm telling you, I can't beat this thing. Help me. And He will. God comes to those who are helpless before Him and admit their helplessness and ask Him for strength and help in time of need, and He's there. He knows where you are. He'll never leave you, forsake you. I run into adults constantly, adult in body, But they're hung up in their mind. They're caught up in something. And he says, flee these things. Get away from it. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you once in a while still throw kid tantrums? Okay, don't think, thank you, ma'am. You're behind the poles. We figured the people behind the poles can get away with more than the ones over here. So y'all are okay. Anybody else, you ever just throw a kid? Oh, you do? Okay, you do too. Okay. Oh, you do too? Okay. Well, hey, there's a bunch of us. Anybody else? Okay, thank you. Well, all right. Well, this is a good appropriate message then. We've got plenty to share. Just a kid tantrum, and you know it's a tantrum. Just slamming things down, right? What good does it do when you drop something in the kitchen floor to pick up the other something and throw it down there too? Or throw something across the yard. Or go kicking your things. You know, kicking your vehicle is not wise. You know, why do we do that? Years ago, it's been years. I haven't pulled a stump like that, but, you know, yeah. I put on a shirt for Sunday morning. It's a really nice shirt. And I'm buttoning it up. And inevitably, the top button just flies off. Well, I'm trying to get ready. I don't have time to put another button on. And then, you know, but it's like, okay, I'm going to jerk this off and I'll do a little quick stitch here and get this button on. Went to do another button, it flew off. Now, here's the dignified ex-military on that. I grabbed that shirt and ripped all those buttons off and I told it off and I said, if you want to come off, I'll just help you. Then realized later, that's one of my favorite shirts and I tore that dadgum thing. And then I got mad over that. Does anybody do that kind of stuff? And then you look at yourself, that's a kid tantrum. What was that all about? How about kid selfishness? You ever have those moments of just really childhood selfishness and that's mine? You may not say it, but that's the way you're acting. That's mine. I've told you, I've got a stainless steel coffee mug, and buddy, you grab that mug at the house, that's mine. My cousin Eddie, some of y'all don't know, you'll get to know him. We're very close, but when he comes down, he deliberately grabs that one stainless steel. I've said it before, it makes me so mad. There's two more. I bought two more back there. Use them. But he'll reach up, and he knows what he's doing, and he'll grab that thing and say, I'll take this one, and it's like, now, how childish is that? Really? Don't we do that over stuff? You ever do that?
Whenever my cousins want to play with my toys, sometimes like in my head I'm like, I don't want them to break anything.
There you go, see? Yeah, well that's why I am too. Don't break anything. You come in my house, don't break anything. Yeah. Don't we have these fits, these spells? Kid selfishness. And then we have these teen lust and these teen... Oh, I got to move on because I just get too personal. There's nobody here ever has teenage jealousies, are there? You ever jealous over anybody or anything? No. Don't shake your head back there, no. I know you... We do, and it's like, but look what he's saying here. This is not picking on anybody, and we have fun with it, but you know what he's saying? He said it's time to run from these. It's time now to move on and move on to God, and he said it's time to let this stuff go. It's time to let other people drink out of your stainless steel coffee mug. You know, what is your mug? What is it that you prize so much that other people can't touch? What is it, in other words, what is your symbolic thing at your house, in your life? Is it your hat? I know people absolutely break down because somebody put their hat on their head. Really? Don't touch my head. I've heard that before. Let it go. Let it go and move on. Move on to what? Childish things? To righteousness, wholeness, faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. I want to wrap this up, and so I'm going to give you these three things that he says here. That he says you can leave behind if you pursue these things. See, you won't leave anything behind unless you've got something to move to. And he gives us what to move to. He said, run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. And I didn't name tons of things. But God will show you in your heart. And he said, instead, I want you to pursue righteous living. I want you to go after love and peace. And he said, and then he closes with saying, I want you to enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. He said, in other words, I want you to enjoy being around other Christians. So let's look at these real quick. The first one he says is, you know, is I want you to pursue righteous living. What's that? He said, look, when you ask Jesus in your heart and you're repenting your sins, he declares you righteous. I want you to live that righteousness out. I want you to live as a person that's truly righteous. What is the predominant thing that you see in a righteous person? Integrity. A righteous person will admit to you when they've been unrighteous in your presence. They're willing to stop, not make a big deal of it, but to say to you, what I just said to you was wrong. That expression on my face was absolutely not right. My attitude with you is not of God, and I ask your forgiveness. That is the mark, the quality of righteous people. Their righteousness shines out. It's not so much in all the positive things we do. It's what we do when we've messed up. We don't blame somebody. We don't accuse other people. We take the heat. We take it on ourselves and say, this is mine. I own this. My bad. You know? Yeah, you know those cuss words you utter and all that? We could say that. But truthfully, somebody can cuss us out. They can blow us up real bad. But we do not have to choose to blow back, do we? That's our choice. That's our little defense mechanism. That's because our ego is not very strong. Our self-esteem is real low. Let God give you his self-esteem. I mean, what else do you need? You're a child of the living God. You have it all. What are you so threatened about? And then he says faithfulness. Let me say something real quick with faithfulness. We look at faithfulness and say, God wants me to be faithful. To him, yes, but also to you. Catch this. You say, how can you be... What is faithfulness to God's people? If I tell you, I will do something. I will be there. I'm going to do it. Do it. That's it. That's faithfulness. That's honor. That's honor. An honorable person knows when not to say something, and when they do it. That's it. You tell God you're going to pray of a morning, then pray of a morning. You tell somebody I'll be there at 9 o'clock, be there at 9 o'clock. Be there at 8:45, really. That's what he's talking about. Faithfulness. And be a faithful friend. If somebody walks up to you, doesn't happen here that I know of, but if somebody from this church walked up to you and said, hey, I want to just talk in the parking lot out there. So you go out there in the parking lot, say, you know, I don't know about old so-and-so over there. And a faithful person would say, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do since you got questions. Come on. What? Well, I'm going to take you to him. And it says, if you have a problem with your brother, two of you are supposed to fix it. So I'm going to take you to him right now, and you two of you can fix it. And we're not going to have this. God's been going on. That's how you cut it off at the knees right there. That's what an honorable, righteous person does. Oh, you want to say something bad? Well, come on. You want to confront them? Come on, I'll help referee it. And usually, it'll be resolved real quick. You with me? That's all you got to do. But that's what righteous people do. That's what faithful people do. A faithful person is a faithful friend and a dependable one, and they won't tell secrets. Constantly, and in this event that I had happen, one of the things that was said was, you know, I hope you won't share this. And I said, I know how small towns gossip. I know how churches gossip. I know how every community gossips. But I said, I want to tell you something. I am committed to keeping sacred anything you or anybody else says to me. Well, I have enough secrets right here that I could write a book. But I won't do it because somebody might write one on me. Some of you could. You know a lot more about me than I want you to know. Everybody with me here? Never tell a secret. When you mess up, confess it. And you stay loyal to your friends. By the way, if one of your Christian friends, if one member of this church messes up, don't you dare walk around them. If they're the person in the ditch, you go over there and bind them up. And people will say, what are you doing hanging out with them? I'm hanging out with them because I'm supposed to be. I'm their friend. And that's my brother or sister in Christ. And they've fallen in the ditch. Well, I'm going to get in there and help get them out. And I don't care if anybody likes it or not. That's where we got to stand. Because that's the way God works. Well, we got to wrap it up. You smell that? The aroma of tater is creeping across. So that means stop it. And besides, I've gone too long anyway. I just want to finish this. Love and peace. What kind of love? You know what kind of love. There's agape love, God love. It's a love that won't let anybody down. It's a love that just loves people because that's the right thing to do, no matter if they're right or wrong or what they are. We're all in the same family, so now peace. You know what peace literally means in the Greek here that he uses? It means ceasing of war. The ceasing of war, stopping war, strife. Friend, what's the war in your heart? Why do you keep waging war in your heart? Who are you mad at? Are you mad at life? You mad at God? What's the point? Get over it. Let it go. Let God give you that peace that comes from His power. The peace in your past. Make peace with your past. Make peace with your present. So you'll have peace in the future. Peace comes from what? Being forgiven by Christ. Confess it. Let Christ forgive you. It comes from forgiving others. You say, I can't forgive that person who molested me or who hit me or who murdered somebody in my family. Why? Why? Let me say this to you and we're closing. I don't forgive people all the time because I feel like it. I forgive them because I must. Because if I hold the anger and I hold the grudge and I hold the animosity long enough, I'm going to become just like the person I'm mad at and I'm going to start doing the dadgum things they were doing. You can't let anger and bitterness, hatred stay in your heart. It'll make you evil. That's why the scripture says, don't even let the sun go down with you still mad, because it'll turn you into the very thing that you're mad at. Everybody following this? Evil, anger, corrupts. Let it go. Turn it loose. Let God forgive you and forgive others. And keep, hey, by the way, forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. God's forgiven you. Let it go. And then enjoy each other. Let me tell you something. Too often we have problems with people because we're looking for them to behave and act just like we want them to. Life's a circus. Why don't you just walk in the church or wherever you're going out there and say, I'm going to the circus, God's little circus, and I'm going to look at all the weird people today. I'm going to enjoy the clowns and the bearded ladies or whatever it is in the carnival. And that's what life is. And enjoy yourself. Enjoy everybody. Hey, we ask you to tithe, so you paid to get in. May as well enjoy the show. Really? Why can't you look at life like that? We're not all meant to be alike. Everybody doesn't have the same look outlook that I do. They're not going to dress like I do or anything else. Just, why don't we just go in and say, I'm going to enjoy them. Life's a wonder. Some are little angels. And some are little devils. You know, everybody's what they are. Get over it. Some are like that plant right there. What is that? That bat thing. There's a plant there. I'm fascinated by it. The little tiny blossoms. But if you look into it, it looks like a bat's face. There's bat face people. You may be one of them. People are saying every time you walk in, here comes bat face. Let it go. Enjoy it. That's what life's about. God wants you to enjoy it. That's what he said right here. Look at it. Enjoy the companionship of those that call on the Lord with pure hearts. Okay. He says, we're calling on God with pure hearts. The rest of us may not look so good. Who gives a rip? Have righteousness, faithfulness, love, peace, and just enjoy the heck out of it. Father, we thank you for your word and the promises in it and all the goodness that it provides. And thanks, Father, we can be a little bat-faced around you and you don't mind at all. You love us and think we're the most beautiful things in the world. Give us that same outlook. We praise you. And I pray anyone here today, right now, that's convicted of their sins, they just ask you right now, Jesus, I confess my sins, I repent of them, and I ask you in my heart to be my Savior and Lord. Thank you for accepting me right here, right now, just like I am. And God, we just love you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take